The Aussie Monthly, April 2010, Libby Purvis. We were sprawled in hammocks on a Caribbean beach just after Christmas, no, don't spit, and gazing out at the anchorage under a shimmering afternoon sun. None of the boats was ours. Our intrepid voyage this time was achieved on a pig air charter flight from Gatwick, complete with wailing babies and 28-hour snow delays. But peace descended as we lay in the sun after lunch, watching the boats rocking, here a noble schooner, there a Workadale westerly, there a floating garden shed with hippie curlicues on it. And from one of them, with a scraping, clattering noise and an audible oof, a man descended into his dinghy, hauled down half a dozen plastic water cans and rowed across the glittering water towards the boatyard. After a while, he could be seen hefting the heavy cans back into the dinghy, sometimes dropping one on his foot as the sweat made them slippery and the damp hair got into his eyes. He rowed back, put them aboard with more oofs, and then vanished below, occasionally to reappear holding some tool or other to scrabble in the lazarette, or swiping invisible mosquitoes and pulling out musty bedding to air in the cockpit. And we said to one another, rocking gently in our hammocks and contemplating a swim and a cool shower, "What does that remind you of?" We both knew. It was a central, tragic, tropical truth, which we discovered years ago on a charter boat in the Seychelles. Yachting in paradise is still bloody yachting. That Indian Ocean fortnight was a good trip. It was interesting, beautiful backdrops, reasonable boat, nice to slither off the stern for a moonlight swim each night, top snorkeling, friendly people. Yet after the first week, we shamefully handed back the boat and sneaked off to a cheap beach hotel. We were exhausted. What we had never taken into account in anticipation is that unless you're a hardened, time-rich adventurer who did the sell-up-and-sail thing to cross an ocean slowly and now has all the time in the world, tropical yachting is a laborious business. Okay, it's not cold and rainy, but it's still work. On the Seychelles trip, the great truth was born in on us when, anchoring way offshore owing to the gentle shelving paradise beaches, we wrestled the heavy outboard off the pushpit and onto the dinghy, got ashore, chained it up, then walked a mile in the blazing noonday sun, past rows of elegant Italians lounging on hotel terraces and putting up little flags to order another cocktail, to find the local shopping. We needed some washing-up liquid and J-cloths. We ferreted around for them in the amiable confusion of a hut shop with a corrugated iron roof and a lot of people holding spirited, impenetrable arguments in loud Creole. Then we stumped back again, thought about a swim, but decided the wind was coming on shore a bit and we'd better sail round the corner first before dark. Dark, dusk, comes fast and completely in the tropics, though in places like this it is not accompanied by cooler air. You are doomed to 12 hours hot darkness, using up worrying boat batteries if you want to read. Though, of course, some of the time is stimulatingly devoted to fighting mosquitoes, chasing away the cockroaches which stowed away in the cardboard of that amusingly retro Persil box, and trying to fix a suspect marine toilet before the smell rises. As I say, if you're a long-term, carefree, well-rested, blue-water crew, all these things are bagatelles, part of ordinary life. You have, after all, decided to make tropical cruising your ordinary life. But if you just drop into it, for what is meant to be a holiday, you may hit these moments of surprised resentment. What other kinds of holiday involve heavy haulage, fiddly repairs, and hiking in the midday sun because you run out of bog paper? Even self-catering these days is ritzified with welcome hampers and nannyish little booklets telling you where the fruit market is. Even outbreaks of deli belly are manageable in dwellings with proper doors and plumbing. It is the pretty boats, rocking in the sunshine with deceptive calm, which see the sterner, and actually more real, side of living through blazing days and long dark velvet nights. I wouldn't want to put anybody off. We'll set off down the trades one day. Obviously you get better at living the tropical dream as time goes on, and everyone should have a distant vision to live for. But if you haven't enough time, enough stamina, enough patience, you might be happier in a hammock ashore with the odd day charter. Because, altogether now, yachting in paradise is still bloody yachting.